Thank you, Pastor Trey, for all that. A couple of weeks ago, I had a $10 bill with me, remember? This time, I have a Benjamin Franklin with me. You know what Benjamin Franklin is? Benjamin Franklin? He's right here. A $100 bill. I hope this gets your attention this time. Now, look at my wife, okay? I got her attention right now already. Before we begin, I just want to thank those who are serving in these services. And a lot of times we just forget to thank them. I just want to thank those who are serving in the sound booth, in the screen booth, and also the streaming booth way in the back. Why don't we just give them we thank them, all of them. Their job is so important. There was a friend of mine who said, the sound guy is the one that makes you or breaks you, okay? So that's how important their job is all the time. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for serving the Lord all this time. Okay, let me see the Bibles that came to church this morning. The Bibles that came, and by the way, I'm seeing some T-shirts. Hey, yeah, if you brought your iPad with you, if that's your Bible, that's okay. Let me see them also. Yeah, I mean, so important. I remember the times when we first started using the iPads and iPhones as a Bible. I mean, I remember how disturbed I was because I was always thinking that the people using their iPhones or iPads, they were chatting with somebody else. Oh, can you believe what the pastor said this morning? And things like that. Okay, so, now I know most of the time I use my iPad. And it's okay. I mean, we're living in this new era in which electronics are so important. I want to begin by, this was a movie that some of you probably have seen. It's called Lion King. It's not the one that's on the theaters right now, okay? I don't want to disrupt or make bad on things. Some of this, you probably, those of you who have seen the new movie may think better. I do still have the Lion King, the ones on VHS. Some of you don't even know what is that VHS is all about. Okay, I still have it, and I remember this movie. And I love this part of this Lion King movie when Simba, who is the little baby lion, the prince, the son of the queen, the king and the queen as well, goes before down to where his mom and dad were. And at that moment, Simba tried to wake his dad and mom up, especially his dad. And that reminds me about my grandson, because every time when he comes and stays with us, he has his own room. And before everybody wakes up, he wakes up. And he goes directly into our room to play with my wife's iPad. So as soon as he opens the door, I can hear him say, Tita and Tito, they call, that's the way they call us. So he comes in, and I just put my pillow on top of my head, you know, and he goes with his Tita and get the attention he needs and gets to play. Well, Simba is going to see his dad, and dad begins to push. And this, they had this funny conversation because mom and dad, they have this conversation about who's going to be the one who's going to wake up and take care of Simba. And this kind of conversation that, well, he says, Mufasa said, "Oh, before dawn is your son, and you know, when the day and during the day is my son." Is that very convenient, right? All of us know that, all those dads, and of course, moms, they always love to wake up for their little children when they have need attention. Well, he gets the attention he needs. Simba gets the attention he needs when? When Simba said what? Dad. Has somebody? No? Good. You promise. And that's when the king, this lion, wake up and says, okay. Then he remembers he promised. He promised, and then he wakes up and he goes on with his baby boy and shows him the kingdom. And you know the rest of the story. I'm not going to go to the rest of the story now, right now. But you know what I'm talking about. When Simba said, "You promise." Now, some of the things that we are going to meditate this morning about in this last sermon, this is my last sermon about this series. Everybody said, yeah, this is my last one. And on this sermon, we are going to learn some things that are so important. We've been learning about our identity in Christ. We are learning about who we are in Christ, what we were in the past, what has happened in our lives, and what we are right now. Now, this is something that you want to learn. Last week, we learned that we are, number one, no longer slaves. Number two, we are a new creation, a new creature in the Lord. And number three, that we have a new identity with the mind of Christ. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is that in this new identity, we have a mind of a child. We are no longer strangers. We are no longer visitors. We are no longer those who don't have any rights. And I told you this story when you have your children, even if they have the grown-ups, they have their own children, but when they come to your house, they just go directly to your refrigerator and open the refrigerator and see what's there. And they don't ask for anything. They don't go to your mom and dad or your dad and say, "Oh, merciful Father, may I have a banana?" No, they just go and get the banana, eat the banana. And they, a lot of times, they are as messy as they were used to be in the past. Just leave the part of banana so elsewhere. Because they know they are children. They know that they can go to their parents, and it seems like it, everything belongs to them. Isn't that right? I mean, they just can go and go to your bedroom, get your some socks or whatever they need, and a t-shirt or whatever, and they just use it. Because they know they are children. Your neighbor doesn't do that. Your friends, they don't do that. Of course, strangers, they don't do that. It has that relationship that you have with mom and dad. This morning, we are going to meditate into that. Remember, we were saying that we are being transformed in the renewing of our minds. And the way we are transformed is that we are learning who we are in Christ, who we are, and what we are. So, what I'm trying to say here is that we are obedient children of God. We said that already. John 10:10 is a scripture that we all need to know. Do we all have to know? And John 10:10 says, The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus is saying, I came that they may have life and they have it abundantly. Everybody said, abundant life. What Jesus promised us is for us Christians, his followers, is to have abundant life. Now, abundant life begins, first of all, with forgiveness. That all your sins were forgiven when you came to Christ. You don't have to worry about that. The Lord forgave you. When you ask for forgiveness, the Lord forgave you. Number two, abundant life continues with salvation of our souls. And this is by grace. You don't earn your salvation. You receive salvation by grace. So abundant life continues in there. And thirdly, abundant life is enjoyed in the process of sanctification. This process of holiness. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 will give you something that you need to understand this morning. Verse 8 says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing. You see the difference right there? Repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Inherit a blessing. To inherit a blessing, it is something that at one point were not yours, but we are inheriting blessings. In this process of sanctification, we are receiving these kinds of blessings. Now, let me remind you about the scripture that I used last week. It's Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, no longer a slave, but a child. So he says, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Are you making the connection here? Okay, since you are a child, you are also an heir. I love the one that I told you last week about the Living Bible translation. I love that description when it says, since we are children, everything he has, and everything that God has, belongs to us. For that is the way God planted. So, in other words, church, let's begin to know that there are some things that you are entitled to. God has given already to you, so for you to receive it. Let me tell you a story of this lady who used to live in a remote place. So she didn't have electricity. She was used to candles. and live that lifestyle. One day, electricity was available in that area, so she decided to have electricity in her house. So she called an electrician, made all what electrician do, just prepare the house. Then she called the power company, and the power company connect her house with the power of electricity. A few months down the road, an inspector came, showed up in that lady's house. An inspector came and asked her, "Lady, we just came here to check on your service. Is everything going okay?" She said, "Yeah, as far as I know, everything is going okay." And the inspector said, "Well, I came here because we noticed you have very little usage of electricity. So everything is okay?" She said, "Oh, yeah, everything's okay. Every night when it gets dark, I turn on the light. You know, and it's so clear, I can see where my candles are. I light the candle and turn off the light." Church, a lot of times we Christians, we live like that. Every Sunday morning we turn the light. You know, we come, and then the rest of the week we use candles. We are not using the full power of God. We are not enjoying the blessings or that comes when we become Christians. Now, God has given you the power. You need to continue to live in the power. Don't go and live in darkness. Your new identity says that you are complete in Him. Everybody said, "I am complete in Him." Colossians chapter 2 says, "And in Christ we have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." Notice what Paul is saying right there, and God is telling us this morning, that in Christ we have been brought to fullness. Now, I love King James in this specific verse, because King James says we are complete in Him. We are complete in Him. Can you say, "I am complete in Him"? Notice that what Paul is saying here in this verse, he is sending this letter to the Colossians. And the Colossians were going through so many struggles at the time. Those who were with me in the Wednesday night Bible study, they know that, remember what was going on, how difficult the situation was for them. And yet Paul is telling them, "You are complete in Him." So God is telling you this morning that you are complete in Him. Now, let me tell you, as long as you have Christ in your life, you are complete. As long as you have Christ in your life, you are living the abundant life. All you need to know is learning all those blessings that you need to claim for you. Let me tell you, this scripture is saying that Jesus is the head of every power. He, in other words, He has the complete control. And we need to live our life as children who have rights. Let me put it this way, rights spiritually. Let me see the hands of those who know Philippians 4:13. How many of you know it? Hey, good. Okay. Philippians 4:13 is telling you and telling me that I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. I can do all things in Christ, that's this, the other version says, who strengthens me. So who gives you the strength? Christ. So anytime when you do need to do something, Christ gives you the power, the strength. Now, what Paul was testifying here is that we need to live above circumstances. And I'm sure that you remember Philippians 4:13, but most of you don't remember or don't even know what Philippians 4:11 and 12 say. Paul is saying that in Christ he has learned. Let's go to this verse. Let's see. He's saying, I am not saying this because I'm in need. Okay? Paul is saying, thank you for the gift, for your love offering that you gave me, you sent to me. So in this verse, he said, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. One thing, church, that we need to do to live abundant life is to learn to be content whatever our circumstances. Man, there's people who complain about everything. If it's hot outside, it's because hot outside. If it's cold inside the church, it's because, oh, who turned the AC too cold in here? If it's raining, because it's raining. If it's cloudy, because it's cloudy. There's a lot of people who love to complain. Church, we need to quit doing that. We need to enjoy. I have this friend of mine, I talked a few days ago, and he was saying, man, I love this weather, these temperatures. And I was kind of, because I'm the kind of guy that every time that I go inside an air conditioner place, I remember there is heaven. Because according to the Bible, the place that is hot is the other place. So every time when you come into an air conditioner place, says, God, thank you for heaven. Thank you because I'm heading that way. And this is important for us to remember, to be thankful. Paul learned to be content. But let's go into the next verse. Could you put it there? The next one, it says, I know. Look at this. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned what? The secret of being content. Church, we need to learn the secret to be content in any and every situation. We need to learn that in Christ we are complete. If we have Christ, everything is under control. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That's the next verse. In other words, what Paul is saying, that we are complete in Christ and everything else doesn't matter. Because God knows your needs, the Lord knows your needs, and He will supply for you. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 37. That's another verse that you need to learn and remember. And it says, not in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. The prior verses talk about famine. The prior verses about talk about tribulation. The prior verses are talking about so many all those struggles. Paul is telling the church in Rome that in all those things, in famine, in need, in struggles, in tribulation, you are more than conquerors. We need to learn that. We need to live that. Now, let me tell you something. It is important for us to remember. Now, scholars say that the Bible has over 5,000 promises. And you need to dig in to learn them. You need to dig in to learn your lifestyle, who you are in Christ. So that's why we are encouraging you. I encourage you to come and learn. Register it in habit. Become a disciple. Live your Bible. One thing is for sure, it's important for us to remember, in order for us to live a life that is abundant, the abundant life, we need to learn our Bible and we need to pray accordingly. When you pray, reclaim or claim those promises for you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the richness in glory." God will meet all our needs. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." So whenever you go to a struggle, whenever you go to a situation, you present it, you pray according to the Lord's blessings, according to the Lord's promises. Church, we are about to enter our second century in history. Out of the 20 centuries that already passed, this church has been faithful for one century. Isn't that awesome? This church has had people who believe the scriptures. These people have had people who pray. This church has had people who were living abundant life in the past. I want to invite you to meditate this as we go and have the ushers to come. And by the way, this $100 bill, may I have your attention? It's part of our gift to our church. So remember your church. Invest in your church. Okay? So this is part of it. Just one part of it. We need to put our wallet. I learned this in English. We need to put our wallet where? Our mouth is. So I invite you to be generous. I invite you to be these Christians who live the scripture. Meditating this, I want to extend an invitation right after we finish with the offering. Please come.